Taking your Bibles this morning, I would like to invite your attention to two opening texts. Please find the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and then find the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Proverbs, the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and then find Luke's Gospel narrative, chapter 2. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, in verses 5 to 6, we find these words: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him," acknowledge God. And what is the end result? "And He shall direct thy path." And then turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and would like to read in your audience verses 21 to 35. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. On the heels of the shepherd's visit to the manger scene, in verses 20, we find these words: "And when 8 days were accomplished," meaning 8 days from the birth of Christ, Jesus, "and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of Mary's purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him," Jesus, "to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy," or separate, "unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Moses, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he," Simeon, "should not see death," he should not die, "before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he," Simeon, "came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he," Simeon, "him up in his arms and blessed God and said," quote, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace," or "die, according," notice, "to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Now get this: "a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." Those were words given by Simeon to Mary, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As we have done in the past, we've taken momentary breaks from our routine preaching series to interject a little bit of variety in our gleanings from the Scriptures, have we not? Therefore, in light of the current season, I've chosen to recast our attention back to the gleanings from the Nativity story, as it is faithfully recorded in the Holy Scriptures. This season's gleanings we'll focus our attention upon the aged Simeon, who in the providence of God meets the Holy Family as they worked out their faith by being obedient to the requirements outlined in God's Word. More specifically, the law of Moses, as it is recorded in Exodus 13 and Leviticus 12. Turn to Exodus 13, and let me show you two passages of Scripture, or two requirements that Mary and Joseph were attempting to obey, or were attempting to apply as the Holy Family. Now, several years ago, when we focused our attention on Mary and Joseph in our first gleanings in the Nativity, we brought out the fact that Mary and Joseph were saved. Even though they lived under the old economy, Mary and Joseph were Christians, if you will. And one of the reasons, or one of the ways that you demonstrate that you are a child of God, is the fact that when God points His finger to certain duties and requirements for His people will naturally work out that obedience through their lives. Would you be willing to even concede that? That if you claim to be a Christian, then you're going to live a certain way. If you claim to be a Christian, then you are telling the world that God has done something miraculous in your life, and that now there are certain changes taking place because something has changed on the inside of you, and that change is now working its way out to your hands, your feet, your eyes, and such. Would you be willing to say amen to that? Well, let's see whether or not Mary and Joseph are trying to work out their faith. Look at Exodus 13 and look at verses 11 to 16. In our narrative here this morning, Simeon meets the Holy Family, and Mary and Joseph are bringing the young child Jesus to the temple with an offering. Well, what are they doing? Let me show you. Exodus 13, verse 11. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, that means the womb, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. If thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shall thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Like, what are you doing, daddy? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew or killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the womb, or the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. God required that when they got to the land, every firstborn male child, whether it be man or beast, was to be dedicated to the Lord. And that was to be done so by an offering. And when a young Jewish boy would go to his daddy and say, why are we doing this procedure? The father was to tell that little boy, well, when we were in Egypt, when we were slaves to Pharaoh, when we were under the taskmaster's whip, God came on a particular night with the death angel, and every house that did not have the blood on the two sides in the doorpost, when the death angel didn't see that blood, the firstborn of that house died, whether it be man or whether it be beast. And so this requirement was a constant reminder of that dreadful night when the Passover was instituted. And lo and behold, what is Mary and Joseph doing? They're simply attempting to work out their faith by being obedient to the requirements of Exodus chapter 13, verses 11 to 16. And so if you're here this morning, my dear Christian friend, if we are here this morning and we profess to be the people of God, the only way that we demonstrate that profession is by what? Working out our own faith with fear and trembling. Christian husbands loving their Christian wives or even their unbelieving wives the same way that Christ loved the church and gave herself for it. Christian husbands loving their wives, Christian wives loving their husbands. And if you're here this morning and you're single and you believe that the Spirit of God is moved within your soul, how do you work out that faith? How do you work out? How do you demonstrate whether you're a new creature in Christ? Well, do you love praying to your Heavenly Father? Do you love reading the Scriptures? Do you love being with the people of God? Do you love to be in church? Do you love to hear the Scriptures preached? And when you sin, do you feel very disturbed and uncomfortable with your sin and you are quick to confess it and to repent of it and to press on? Well, how do I know that Mary and Joseph were saved, was a saved couple? God tells them under the old economy, this is what you do with your firstborn male child. And when you come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, what do you find Mary and Joseph doing? They're obeying. Now turn to Leviticus 12. And let me show you more specifically what Luke is recording in his narrative. What other requirement was Mary and Joseph trying to be obedient unto as they worked out their faith with fear and trembling? Not only was there a certain requirement touching the firstborn male, there was another requirement that God had after a woman gave birth to a child. Are you ready for this? Leviticus 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. If a woman have conceived seed and bore a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. Leviticus 12, verse 2. So once a woman, in this case, Mary gave birth to a son, did she not? 7 days following the birth of the baby Jesus, she was considered ceremoniously unclean. Then shall she be unclean 7 days according to the days of the separation of her infirmity, shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So get the timeline. Jesus is born. The shepherds come and visit him. 7 days from the birth, Mary is considered ceremoniously unclean. On the 8th day, following the shepherd's visit, Jesus is to be circumcised. But look at verse 4. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallow thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So you take the 7 days of uncleanness, and you add 33 more days. So guess what? Based on Leviticus chapter 12, you can dogmatically say that when the holy couple was being, as recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 2, when they meet Simeon, it was at the end of that 40-day period following the birth of Christ. Now, same book, same chapter, drop down to verse 7. Verse 6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that had borne a male or a female. And if she shall not be able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtle doves or 2 what? Young pigeons. What do you find Mary and Joseph bringing in Luke chapter 2? they're bringing pigeons. And based on that, you can dogmatically draw the conclusion that Mary and Joseph were on the lower rung on the economical status amongst their own people. They were poor. They could not afford a lamb. And so God made provision under the law. If you could not purchase a lamb because you could not afford it, then you can bring two pigeons, which apparently were cheaper than bringing a lamb. And the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now, beloved, I purposely went out of my way to show you this for one reason. Mary and Joseph were a saved couple. And how can I draw that conclusion so dogmatically? I've given you two verses under the Old Testament economy, bringing the male child or dedicating the first male unto the Lord, and a requirement for Mary in regards to her ceremonial uncleanness following the birth of her child. Two requirements that God said, I want this done. It's to be done this way. And Mary and Joseph did so. How do I know I'm a child of God? How do I know I have passed from death unto life? How do I know that God the Spirit has worked a work of grace in me? Simple bottom line, you do the things God requires. And you do it from the heart. And you do it willingly, lovingly, joyfully. And no one needs to put a 12-gauge shotgun to the nape of your neck to make you do it. You do it because you desire to do it. To please your Heavenly Father. Well, the first thing here this morning, we shall consider Simeon under two major topics or two major heads. This month, we shall consider Simeon, the man and his times. And if God permits us all to be alive 12 months from now, we shall consider Simeon, his message, and its evangelical applications. Did you notice something when Simeon came to the temple? Did you notice something when he held the little infant child Jesus in his hands? Simeon said, I have seen thy salvation. How did he know that, living under the old economy? And did you also notice something else about Brother Simeon? He said that Jesus Christ was to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Brother, this is before Jesus even begins his public ministry. This is even before the day of Pentecost when God the Holy Spirit empowers his church to preach the gospel. This is before Acts chapter 15 when the Jerusalem council must meet and squabble over whether a Gentile can even be saved. Simeon holds the baby Jesus in his bosom and says, you are the light to lighten the Gentiles. Brother Simeon had a good pair of glasses on when it came to spiritual truth. I love that. Well, in this monthly schedule, we will focus our attention on Simeon. And we're going to focus upon him, listen carefully, on him. And we have to study the historical context in which we find Brother Simeon. If you do not place him in the proper historical setting, you will not appreciate anything that is said about this aged man in Luke chapter 2. With that in mind, go back to Luke chapter 2 and let's reread before we begin to break ground here this morning, because in this hour and in the hour to come, we will give our attention to Brother Simeon. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and permit me to read once again verses 25 to 28. And then we'll begin to draw some, we'll begin to pull some things out of the scriptures as we consider Simeon the man and his times. You ready? And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem So we know where he was residing. He was residing there in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just. We're going to consider that this month. He was devout. We're going to also consider what that means this month. And notice this. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What do you think that is? What do you think it was? And we're also going to study this. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. We're going to consider what does it mean that something was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death, he should not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So somehow, some way, it was revealed to Simeon by God through the Spirit that he was not going to die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And verse 27 tells us, he came by the Spirit into the temple on this one particular day. I don't think this was an accident. Mary and Joseph bringing the little infant Jesus to obey Leviticus 13. No, excuse me, Exodus 13, and to obey Leviticus 12. They're coming to obey those requirements. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. So here it comes. First point. From this passage, from the context of the passage, it is pretty much assumed that Simeon was a very old man by this time, because he's waiting to die. Matter of fact, as we read the entire text, after holding the infant Christ, and after telling Mary that this child is for the rising and the fall of many, and a sword is going to pierce right through your soul, what do you think that has reference to? Simeon telling Mary that because of this child, there would be a sword thrust into Mary's bosom. What do you think that has reference to? I'll let you decide. And when he sees the baby Jesus, what does Simeon say? Now let me go. You put all that together, and you can draw the conclusion that at this point, Simeon was a gray-headed, bearded, aged man. Now get this. Since we know that King Herod died 4 B.C., and Herod wanted every child born in Bethlehem from the age of 2 years and under slaughtered, we can safely place the birth of Jesus between 7 and 6 B.C., knowing that Herod died in 4 B.C., And if we assume from the text that Simeon was old and ready to die, listen, it's safe to conclude that Simeon was born sometime between 80 and 70 B.C. And you need to know that, because we got to put Brother Simeon in his historical time setting. And that's my job to do, hopefully, and make it very clear and easy to understand. The text also states that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Look at verses 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just, devout. And notice, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, you may want to underline that. If you're not too afraid to mark up your Bible, underline that phrase, the consolation of Israel. But then we're told something else in verse 26. Look at this. And it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that Simeon would not taste of death. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You may want to underline, before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Are you ready for this? I'm going to make a contention. I'm contending this morning that the consolation of Israel and the coming of the Lord Christ are one and the same. They're one and the same. They are both related to each other. Now, look at verses where it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Listen to this. The word waiting in the Greek implies to look with a view to a favorable reception. Thus, it implies that Simeon was waiting with an anticipated expectation. He was looking for something that God was literally going to satisfy or fulfilled on his behalf. Just like on Christmas morning, when little kids wake up from their slumber and they rub out those eye crusties and they run down those flight of stairs or they come flying out of their rooms. The night before, there was great anticipation that under the tree would be certain gifts from mommy and daddy. True or false? When it comes time for your boss to pay you, and you wait eagerly for that payday. You wait for your paycheck knowing that a certain dollar amount will be automatically deposited into your respective checking account for you to spend. This word implies that Simeon was waiting for something that God promised that he would do. And Simeon was waiting with eager anticipation. Drop down to Luke 28. In Luke chapter 2, drop down to verse 38. We did not read Anna the prophetess. Look what is said of her. And she, Anna, coming in that instance, gave thanks likewise. This happens the same day that Simeon comes to the temple and meets the Holy Family. And she, Anna, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him and to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You see the word looked? It's the same Greek word translated waiting in reference to Simeon. Now, can I give you another little contention or another statement? In verses 38, when Anna comes to the temple and she meets the Holy Family, she says that there were those at that time looking for redemption in Jerusalem. You ready for this? The consolation of Israel, the coming of the Lord Christ, and redemption coming to Jerusalem. Ready for this? You think you can handle this? They're all related. It's talking about the same event. It's talking about the same person who was coming. And who do you think the person was? The Christ child. He was Israel's consolation. He was the Lord's Christ. And he, and he alone, was going to bring redemption to Jerusalem. Both Anna and Simeon, somehow, some way, were told that something good was about to happen. That God was about to fulfill a promise. And Simeon and Anna were looking and waiting with eager anticipation because God said something and God's honor and God's word was on the line. Question, do you sit here this morning truly believing this to be what it claims? Or do you sit there with doubts and skepticism and mockery? Simeon only had God's word. Anna only had God's word. Simeon only had a promise that God gave him. That Simeon, you are not going to die until you see my Messiah. And Simeon, that day, was moved by the Spirit of God. He obediently comes to the temple and he intersects with the Holy Family and he holds the infant Christ in his hands. Dear Lord, let me die now. I have seen your Christ. Anna, maybe waiting in line, was saying, this is redemption that was to come. This is our comfort and our consolation. Isn't that marvelous? Well, one more point before we take our break. In verses 26, it says that somehow, some way, it was revealed to Simeon that certain things were going to happen. God revealed to Simeon a promise that he would not die till he saw the Lord's Christ. Turn to two quick references before we close this first installment. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And then find 1 Peter chapter 1. And you may want to jot these down on the side of your margin next to that expression that this was revealed to Simeon. What are we talking about, this idea of revelation or God revealing? Look at Hebrews 1:1. Please notice. And again, you got to put Simeon in his proper time context. He's living under the old economy. The New Testament hasn't even been written. Beloved, Jesus hasn't even gone down to Jordan to be baptized by his cousin. Jesus hasn't even uttered the Sermon on the Mount yet. Jesus hasn't even gone to the cross yet. We're talking about time events that centered around the birth of Christ going back. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 1 of Hebrews 1 describes to you how the Old Testament came to us. God at different times, and God using different techniques to communicate and to reveal His Word, whether God spoke from heaven, whether Jesus Christ comes to earth in a Christophany in Genesis 18, did not Jesus come with two angels and they spoke to Abraham face to face about God's intentions to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Did not Jesus sit down with Father Abraham and eat food and talk to Father Abraham face to face? Like I'm talking to you. Was that not the same one who saw Joshua with his sword in his hand? And Joshua asked him in Joshua 5, are you for us or for the enemy? And the person with that sword in his hand says, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. That was the same person who spoke to Moses in that burning bush. I'm contending that somehow, some way, whether by way of a dream or by way of an angelic visitor, somehow God communicated to Simeon that he would not taste of death until he saw Christ come. And then go to 1 Peter 1. And this verse is even more clear. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 as we close this installment, this first one. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verses 10 to 13. Watch. Of what salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Who's this grace that was to come? I believe it was the Lord's Christ. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, the Old Testament prophets, that not unto themselves but unto us, they, the Old Testament prophets, did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Beloved, Simeon was probably a prophet. And God revealed to him, you're not going to die until you see my Christ. And so Simeon began to mark his calendar. And Simeon began to have eager anticipation because he knew that God cannot lie. Do you believe that? God cannot lie. I can lie. You can lie. Politicians lie every day. Corporate executives, they lie all the time. God cannot lie. The gist of this nativity series is this. God's word can be trusted. God made a certain promise to both Anna and to Simeon, if you will. And these two ancient saints waited with eager anticipation. What God says, God will perform. Do you believe that? God says, if you come by faith, you come by repentance and faith, you come to me and you trust in me, I will forgive your sins and cleanse you and adopt you into my family. Do you believe that, sinner friend? Then you come and you embrace the Savior. And the reason why you do not come is because you do not believe God. You do not take God at His word. God says, if you come, you will be received. If you come with sorrow over your sins because you've offended a holy God, you will be received. If you come this morning and say, Jesus Christ is my only hope, Jesus Christ is my only consolation, Jesus Christ is my only redemption, He is the only light to lighten my darkened soul, He will save you, sinner friend. Simeon took God's word, and Simeon could go to the bank because he knew that God does not lie, and God's word is sure and steadfast. How long do you think Simeon waited? We're not told in what age or what year of his life God promised him this, but let's just make believe that he was a very young man when God gave him that promise. And Simeon waited day and week and month and year and decade after decade. And he did not lose heart. And then the day came. And God stirred him up, despite the frailty of his body, to move to the temple complex. And there he sees the Holy Family. And then he embraces Jesus Christ and he says, now I can die in peace. Take me home. I've seen your Christ. I've seen the Christ. What a man. And we've just scratched the surface of Brother Simeon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for this day and to thank you for these words of exhortation. We thank you for an example of a man who was willing to persevere. He was willing to continue and to abide by faith, trusting that you gave certain promises to him personally. And he took those words to the spiritual bank of heaven, and he knew that his God could deliver the goods. Father, may you steel and bone up our hearts to be men and women of faith who will trust the Scriptures unreservedly and unconditionally. In Christ's precious name, amen.